The new 94.9 Light FM. Good morning, Regina Julie. It's 9 minutes after 7 o'clock. A very special VIP in the studio today. The man who will be carving on the honker.
You can't say
that. He's joining us in studio. Jessica Fiore, who is our producer, I think we all know, has decided to go in and alter the appearance of her nose, even though she doesn't want it to look any different. And so we searched all around the globe. We found the world's finest rhinoplastician, dude. And he's in here with us today.
In the studio this morning is Dr. Burke Robinson. Good morning.
Good morning. How are you?
I feel like we're friends, so it's funny to have you in here in the official capacity.
Yeah. I dressed up for this and nobody can see it.
I know. Well, we'll tell everyone you dress nice. Dr. Robinson will be doing Jessica's, well, nose job, rhinoplasty. What else do people call it?
Those are the two most common terms. Rhinoplasty is what we like to call it in the profession.
But, don't you think there's a nicer sounding word than rhinoplasty?
I haven't come up with one yet. We need one.
Yeah, it could be a more gentler, softer name. Rhinoplasty just doesn't sound like something a woman wants necessarily.
Get rid of that big horn in the middle of your forehead is what it sounds like, you know?
That's right.
So, all right, Jess, your doc's here. What do you want to say? What do you want to know?
I pretty much know everything. We've had two consultations with you. We've spoken a lot about everything. You guys gave me a ton of information and material to read. And I just feel really comfortable. It's something I've been wanting to do forever since I was like 13 or 14 years old. And for it to become a reality now, it's just really, it's overwhelming for me personally. It's a very emotional decision, but I feel so comfortable with you because you're normal. But you're
Thank
also,
you.
I mean, you're... You know what you're talking about, and I have full faith and trust in you. No pressure, though.
No pressure, no. Well, Jesse, I'm excited for you.
Thank you.
Because we've handpicked your team for the OR. We have the anesthetist and the anesthesiologist scheduled. We have the scrub tech who's going to be helping with the instruments.
You got Jesse a scrub. Jesse got a scrub.
She has her own peep now.
That's right. She got a posse peeps. Hanging out with her.
But what's interesting about rhinoplasty, it probably is the most emotional surgery that a patient will go through because it is something you've had your whole life, and it's square on your face. You can't cover it with a sweater, you know, or a scarf. Mm-hmm. It's out there.
Right.
And it's something that you live with every day. And I probably see more emotional response from people who have rhinoplasty than any other procedure we do on the face.
Yeah. Wow.
Mm-hmm. I'm glad you said that because I feel better about it because I thought maybe I was just an emotional wreck.
No, not at all.
And just out of the norm.
No, not at all. Everybody's very emotional about having their nose changed. And they're very worried about it. Your concerns pre-op are just like everybody else. Mm-hmm. Because if it doesn't go correctly, it's still out there for everyone to see.
Right.
Which is what I love about the challenge of doing it.
Right.
It's even interesting in children who have otoplasty, have the prominent ears that stick out from the head. Those patients carry a lot of emotional baggage. At about age 4 to 5, peer ridicule really kicks in. And
really?
Children, oh. Children
so
are very
for
mean.
Kids that have the ears that kind of stick out, then how do you correct that?
We reshape the cartilage through a combination of shaving the cartilage and using
Okay, dude, that just sounds like so.
It makes sense, though, Gene. Why else wouldn't it? I mean, if you didn't reshape the cartilage, it would continue
well,
to
I
stay
know,
out.
But,
that makes
yeah,
sense.
We just
yeah.
reshape it with sutures. And postoperatively, those children are really changed. And one of the funniest stories I've ever had to tell is a child who came in. He was about 6 or 7, ideal age to have that procedure done. And he was very quiet.
Now, why is that an ideal age, 6 or 7?
The ear reaches about 90% of its adult size at age 5. And also, peer ridicule doesn't really start socially until about age 5 or 6. So it's the ideal time to do it.
And is it true that the ears never stop growing?
No, they do stop growing.
Okay.
Correct. They stop growing, but the cartilage is still very moldable. On a 5-year-old, as an adult, it starts to calcify, gets very firm, and it's harder to change how it looks. But this child came in, he was very quiet and reserved. And most children are when they come in, they don't know why they're even there. But this fellow, when he came in for his 6-week post-op visit, this is no lie, he came in singing, I'm too sexy for my ears.
You're kidding.
That is so cute.
That is so funny.
He was very
So is
happy.
It the parent then that realizes that the child has this situation that maybe is going to cause them some grief, or they start to notice teasing? It must be a tough decision for a parent.
It really is, because you are making a decision about changing how your child looks before they can make a decision on their own. not all parents have that intuition to really recognize that their child could be receiving some peer ridicule. Mm-hmm. And it really sticks for many years. Adults who come in for that surgery will relay many stories of how they were really teased and it's affected their self-image as they've grown up.
Yeah, that's one thing you don't really think about. I know a lot of people who've had the rhinoplasty, but you don't know about, what do you call it again with the ears? What's the technical term?
Otoplasty.
That's so interesting. Yeah. Well, Dr. Burke Robinson's in the studio this morning. In just a couple minutes, he's going to tell us all about the Atlanta Makeover with a Mission, which is your chance to do a head-to-toe makeover. Anything goes in this one, and we'll tell you all about it in just a minute. It's 7:15.
Now, I know there was also a question. Emily West, who's in the traffic center, wanted to go in and observe the surgery, much like Seinfeld, you know, up in the little the booth up above the operating table. How possible is that?
We no longer have those booths.
Really? You don't have them at all?
Phew.
No, not even teaching centers. That was very old, like 50, 60 years ago.
Really? So they don't have those at all?
No. Now, if there's a procedure being done that somebody really wants to teach to others, they're going to have it videotaped and shown that way.
Can we videotape it?
No.
Emily. Emily, it sounds like you're out of it, man. Unless you want to become a scrub, you're not going to be allowed in there.
All right.
Sorry.
7:15, we're Gene and Julie on the new 94.9 Light FM. Dr. Burke Robinson in the studio. If you have any questions about the different procedures he's talking about, things you've always wondered, you can call us at 404-741-0949.
Gene and Julie on the new 94.9 Light FM. Dr. Burke Robinson is in the studio with us this morning, answering some of your questions about plastic surgery at 404-741-0949. Good morning.
Yes, hi. Forgive me if the doctor already said this. I just tuned in a few minutes ago. But
sure.
Could you ask him if there's anything you can do surgically or non-surgically for the bags under your eyes?
Yeah, we were talking quite a bit about that. That's actually one of the fastest-growing, most popular surgeries, isn't it, Doctor?
Yes, eyelid surgery, blepharoplasty, is the most common procedure done on the face. And we did talk about taking care of the puffiness below the lids, which, as we'd stated before, is from the fat that the good Lord put within our orbital socket to cushion the eyeball. But as we get older, the skin of our eyelid, which acts like a retaining wall, becomes weaker, loses its tensile strength, and so the fat starts to push forward past the rim of the orbit and becomes the highest point on the eye, and therefore light reflects off it, and then
you
can see
it. So you don't need the fat later in your life? It's not really functional?
That's a great question. No, you do need that fat. We don't remove all of it.
Oh.
As I was taught, it's not like a bag of pretzels you're trying to get to the bottom of.
Yeah.
You only take what you need and you leave the rest behind.
I see.
And that way the eye is still cushioned, but that just that little bit that we're taking, which is a couple teardrops worth, makes all the difference.
That's
in the
amazing.
World.
So you take just very little.
It's very
and
little.
You said you heal pretty quickly after a surgery like that too, right?
Yes. The advantage now over 10, 15 years ago is going behind the eyelid. The eyelid heals so rapidly, we don't even suture it shut.
Wow.
Yes, within days, that is healed up.
Do you have any more questions about this procedure?
Is it painful?
Yeah, good question. You know what? We actually have someone in here named Marie who's had this procedure done. Marie, how is it afterwards? What kind of recovery are you facing?
I did really, really well. I actually was fine the very next day.
Wow.
To do anything I needed to do. It's just that you...
Do you wear bandages or anything with that kind of procedure?
No.
No stitches, no bandages?
No.
Wow.
Do you see a significant difference?
Oh, yes. Very much so.
And I think that's one of the things that you keep hearing is what a significant difference it makes doing something as simple as the eyes, right, Doctor? You said a lot of people would never notice that you had something done. You just sort of look rested or refreshed or like
you've
had a vacation or something, right?
Yeah. I think the best plastic surgery is the stuff that is not noticed.
Mm-hmm.
You just look refreshed. You look improved. Now, there are some exceptions to the rule where people have some dramatic changes, and that usually is with noses more than anything else. Some people maybe a very large hump on the nose. It's hard to really explain that as a vacation or a change in your haircut.
Right.
But in what we call aging face surgery, eyelids, facelifts, laser resurfacing, it really should just look like you look like a good you.
And what is the first surgery that typically a person will come in for? Are eyes usually the first thing?
Eyes are usually the first thing that people come in.
And what age are people starting to go, yeah, my eyes are getting a little saggy there?
That's a good question. Everybody ages differently based on their genetics.
Mm-hmm.
On the average, it's usually going to be in their mid to late 30s with the eyes.
Mm-hmm.
But sometimes you can have people in their late 20s.
Wow. And is earlier the better if you're trying to sort of maintain or slow the aging process? Is earlier the better in terms of that kind of
when
stuff?
When you start to see those signs of aging, that's the best time to do it. Eyelid surgery is one of those procedures that I always tell my patients, you get a lifetime guarantee. If it's done properly, it doesn't need to be repeated.
Wow.
As far as eyelid surgery.
Right.
Now, someone may come in with some excess skin on their upper lid. We remove that, and maybe 10 years down the road, they'll come back in and say, hey, I want my lifetime guarantee. What's going on? More than likely, what's happened is the brows have now started to descend.
Gotcha.
And that's why it's important to see somebody who knows not just how to do eyelid surgery, but also eyebrow surgery, because some patients just need their eyelids done. Some patients just need their brows taken up slightly. Some people need both. And you don't want to go to someone who just has a hammer and everything looks like a nail.
That's true.
In the studio with us this morning is Dr. Burke Robinson of Robinson Facial Plastic Surgery. He is a part of that fantastic Makeover with a Mission.
The new 94.9 Light FM. Good morning, Regina, Julie.
In the studio this morning, we have Dr. Burke Robinson, and we have not talked to our listeners about why you're really here, and that is you're part of this really great promotion we're doing called Makeover with a Mission. In 10 words, summarize what we're doing with this project.
Makeover with a Mission is to show that you don't have to go to Beverly Hills to have state-of-the-art plastic surgery head to toe. In fact, Dr. King, who's been on the Extreme Makeover nationally, lives here in Atlanta and practices here in Atlanta.
She's a cosmetic dentist.
That's right. Mm-hmm. She's awesome. So when we were putting this together, I wanted us to do this not only to show the talents off of who's here in Atlanta, but also to do it with a spin that would help change other people's lives other than the people who have the surgery. So I chose the best people who I thought were in Atlanta, who also in kindergarten had checked off plays well with others. Because they are
classic. That's
they are
great.
Really good team players. And what we decided to do was have people apply and do a suggested donation of $50. And all the money and proceeds that we earn from this will go to Family Haven in Forsyth County, which is a shelter for battered women and children from abusive households. And also some of this money will go to the National Face-to-Face Domestic Violence Project.
That's great. I'm glad that you put service behind it. But we're really giving away a makeover head-to-toe to one lucky person in Metro Atlanta. And
absolutely.
This is the A-team of people in our community. These are the best of the best.
I also want to say, though, that we may give it to several people.
That's
in other
right.
words, like we have a body plastic surgeon who has agreed to do like liposuction, another person who's agreed to provide breast augmentation. You're doing the rhinoplasty. So we have all of these different medical professionals. And we may find an ideal candidate for maybe three of the procedures. So then we might find somebody else who maybe just needs one or two. So as an example, if somebody's listening who would like to have their eyes done, or maybe would like to have their nose done, or would like to have their breast done, you could apply to this program to have any one of the series of things, correct?
That's correct. Ideally, we'd like to do it similar to the national show where we'd have one or two people who get
right.
a total head-to-toe makeover, but we don't know what the applicant pool is going to give us. So if we don't find those ideal candidates, then we'll just break it up and have several patients who will allow each of the surgeons and dentists to show off their talent on that individual. In addition, we're doing this all at Northside Hospital, Meridian Mark Surgery Center, which is extremely good. They have all the accreditation nationally, locally, with board certified anesthesiologists. And in addition to our team, we not only have the surgeons, the cosmetic dentists, we have a personal trainer, and we also have Evie Delaney, who's going to be doing the permanent makeup, which is the
wow.
tattooing, which looks beautiful. And then also from Ricardo, the salon, we're going to have Joanne Miles from there doing the hair. So we have just top-notch people head to
we're
going to
do the whole thing, like the revealing party and all that
yeah.
stuff they do with the TV show. So if someone wants to apply to be the person who gets the Makeover with Mission, tell them how they can sign up.
Well, there's two ways they can do it. One, they go to makeoverwiththemission.com, and they can either apply online, which for most people has been pretty easy to do, but for some people they're still not comfortable with the web. The thing they can download the forms, and there's a post office box that is listed on the website, and they can mail their pictures in along with their application, and it specifies all the different things that we need in that application. But the deadline is the end of this month.
Okay, so they gotta get on it real quick.
Get on it real fast, because we already have our surgery dates picked in the operating room in February. We've already reserved our time.
How do you bring it up with somebody? Like you may go, well, you know, when you first heard about this, like Jessica's an example. And Jessica wanted to have her nose done, but you might work with somebody who you know probably could use a procedure like this, but it, you know, it's a little awkward bringing up with someone to go, hey, you know what, those eyes are fixable. You know what, we can fix those eyes. Is there a way to bring it up with someone or let them know about it in a sort of...
Well, I think in this case, it is a philanthropic endeavor. So maybe they could say, gosh, did you hear about what they're doing here locally? They're providing a makeover at the local level mm-hmm. with the top-notch people in the city. But you can apply, and the money is going to a great cause. So, you know, if it's something you even just thought about, go ahead
Gene,
and do it. And
you can't tell someone, dude, you need to get your nose fixed, or your teeth are kind of crooked. You need to see Dr. King. You can't do that. You know, I mean, it's all you do. They're doing this really cool makeover,
right.
And people who are interested will apply.
That's
we just
right.
need to get the word out, really. But the fact mm-hmm. is that you're all donating your time and you're all doing this for free.
Yeah,
that's neat.
Not only are the surgeons and the other people on this team donating their talents, but they're also even putting money in to pay for the marketing.
That's right, because you can buy commercials, and mm-hmm. I've seen ads in magazines for it.
That's right. Atlanta Magazine has been very generous to mm-hmm. us, but we've been paying for our marketing. Are being brought in for a makeover with a mission are not being dispersed back to the physicians who have put money up to even market this.
Wow.
So.
Well, it's good to have you in here, Dr. Robinson. I know we have a couple more callers with questions. Do you mind hanging out for just a little bit longer?
Sure.
Okay. Number here is 404-741-0949.
The new 94.9 Light FM. Good morning. We are Gina Julian in the studio with us this morning. Dr. Burke Robinson, who's involved with us for the makeover with a mission, taking your questions like the cosmetic surgery at 404-741-0949. Good morning.
Hi. I know that everything in life has some risk, and I'm always a scaredy cat when it comes to things, but I was reading in the paper yesterday where a woman named Olivia Goldsmith, who wrote The First Wives Club, died at 54 years old from her complications from plastic surgery.
Okay.
And she'd been in a coma. I'm looking at it right now. She'd been in a coma since January 7th when she underwent anesthesia for a procedure to remove loose skin from her chin, and she had a heart attack during the anesthesia. But realistically, I know you have to sign all kinds of release forms when you have surgery, and I know I'm the ultimate scaredy cat, and you could get killed in the car on the way to the plastic surgeon's office, but how many people do have complications?
In my practice, I've never had that occur, but we have very strict criteria that we adhere to. I think whoever you see, you want to make sure that they are doing their surgery in an accredited facility mm-hmm. with a board-certified anesthesiologist.
Mm-hmm.
It is very sad about the patients who have an elective cosmetic procedure with a bad result medically, not cosmetically, but medically.
Mm-hmm.
And it's because of a lot of times a surgeon trying to cut corners or increase his profit by having his OR in the closet in the back, and it's not accredited. And
mm-hmm.
frankly, you can do it. If you sign the consent and he's got, you know, the room, and he thinks that happens.
Mm-hmm.
I do all of my surgeries at places that are accredited by three things. Number one, the state. The state accredits operating rooms. Number two, Medicare, which is federal government. Number three, AAAHC, which is an independent national organization that accredits operating rooms for freestanding surgical centers.
Mm-hmm.
And if you have those three things, as well as a board-certified anesthesiologist, and they adhere to national criteria, your risk should be extremely low, less than 1%.
Wow, what a great question. I'm really glad you called us. Thank you.
Thank you.
Have a good day.
We're talking about, I guess, cosmetic surgery in general. You can't help but think about cosmetic surgery and think about Michael Jackson. Now, I know that you don't want to necessarily talk about Michael Jackson. However, I was very curious because you've seen photographs of Michael Jackson, and you've seen photographs where it looks like he has a piece of tape holding the tip of his nose on. And I want to find out, he is the worst case scenario, I think, in terms of you look at somebody and just go, that's just sad what happened to that guy. And that was all elective, and of course some
I don't even know how many surgeries the guy's had, but clearly he's had way too many because he looks altered. Right. Worst case scenario, what is going on with a guy like Michael Jackson? What's happening with a guy like that with his nose? Or what could be going on? I know you can't talk about him specifically, but...
I think that's poor surgical judgment. That's different from the previous caller worried about medical risk.
Right.
Obviously, he's alive and doing well. I saw him dancing last week. But as far as his nose, it appears as if there was too much tissue removed, and to the point that he has such refinement for his ethnic nose, it looks like there's an implant in there. I cannot speak specifically because I have not surgeon.
And what would an implant be? If he had an implant, what would it be?
It's more likely made out of elastic rubber. It's used very commonly for chin implants, and in the chin it works very well. In Asia, they use what's known as a silastic L-shaped implant to make the nose have a higher bridge and a more refined tip, so it's not so flat along the bridge. But as we have found in that situation, you see those implants twice. Once when you put them in, and the second time when they start to erode and come out. And the most common place for them to erode and come out is at the tip of the nose.
Erode? How do they erode?
Is it rubbing too much?
It's pressure. The nose is like an umbrella. I mean, it needs a certain amount of strength to hold it open, but you don't want to try and open it up too much. You're stretching it too hard, and something's going to pop through. And so they're trying to take a nose that is really not meant to look like that and pushing the envelope, pushing it open more than they can, pushing it higher, bringing the nose out, the tip of the nose out farther. And so from that constant pressure, you get what's called pressure necrosis. There's a constant pressure underneath the skin that then pushes the skin in it. With blood supply.
So what could be happening is if a person had a flatter nose, like maybe Michael Jackson was born with, so then you would put this L-shaped thing underneath the tip of the nose to push it out more, to lift it up more. And the pressure against the skin eventually actually goes through the nose, and so you actually start to lose the skin.
Correct. It's that constant pressure. Those microscopic capillaries can't overcome the pressure of that implant pushing on them, so you can't get a good blood supply.
Yeah. So it kind of dies, and then what do people
so
do then? Do they put the tape in the makeup? Is that what you're saying? I'm just curious.
I know,
fallen off, and you go, well, that's ridiculous that they would say that, but
Jessica,
then you find out that there's but then you find out that's a possibility. People, there are such things as prosthetic noses.
There are such things as prosthetic noses, absolutely.
Right.
Those are usually used more in the elderly, patients who've had aggressive skin cancer that weren't treated early enough, and perhaps even reconstructively, we cannot do anything. And so you can have it where they put it on, they use a certain skin type glue. I don't know what's going on with Michael at all.
Right.
I have no idea, but that is something. But that's a really rare thing. And in my practice, I've never had to do anything.
Okay. Well, time to move on to the oatmeal, kids.
I want to thank Dr. Burke Robinson for hanging out with us this morning. Again, if you want to apply for the Makeover with a Mission, go to the website, makeoverwithamission.com. Get your girlfriend to take a couple of quick pictures of you. They don't have to be fancy. Girlfriend's digital camera, or you can go just with the regular camera, go the one-hour photo, get them scanned into a computer. Pictures, fill out their little application, and they'll be contacting people. They're going to be interviewing for this great makeover. We've got the best A team of physicians and surgeons, dentists, and parents. One lucky person, possibly more than one, will have a makeover from head to toe.
That's right. It shouldn't just be for the rich or the bizarre.